Today is the 8th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today, greeting a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. And so, as we do every week, we just take a look out at the vista. It's all there. It's all going to happen. We get to create it, and it will be created by our thoughts and words and choices and actions. The story will be told. So it's good to be out in front of it, not just reacting to it, making choices ahead of time so that we live it well. And then one of those ways is being here together, showing up for each other, showing up for ourselves, doing the work of letting the Bible penetrate all of the thoughts and words and deeds, and all of the patterns of our lives. So I'm grateful, deeply, deeply grateful to be here with you today to take the next step forward. We'll read from the Contemporary English Version this week. And we're in 1 Kings now. And David has died. His son Solomon, with some bumps in the road, has ascended to the throne and is now the king of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 through 4, verse 34. Solomon loved the Lord and followed his father David's instructions. But Solomon also offered sacrifices and burned incense at the shrines. The most important shrine was in Gibeon, and Solomon had offered more than 1,000 sacrifices on that altar. One night, while Solomon was in Gibeon, the Lord God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "My father David, your servant, was honest and did what you commanded. You were always loyal to him, and you gave him a son who is now king. Lord God, I'm your servant, and you've made me king in my father's place. But I'm very young and know so little about being a leader. And now I must rule your chosen people, even though there are too many of them to count. Please make me wise and teach me the difference between right and wrong. Then I will know how to rule your people. If you don't, there is no way I could rule this great nation of yours." And God said, "Solomon, I'm pleased that you asked for this. You could have asked to live a long time, or to be rich, or you could have asked for your enemies to be destroyed. Instead, you asked for wisdom to make the right decisions. So I'll make you wiser than anyone who has ever lived or ever will live. I'll also give you what you didn't ask for. You'll be rich and respected as long as you live, and you'll be greater than any other king. If you obey me and follow my commands as your father David did, I'll let you live a long time." Solomon woke up and realized that God had spoken to him in the dream. He went back to Jerusalem and stood in front of the sacred chest, where he offered sacrifices to please the Lord and sacrifices to ask his blessing. And Solomon gave a feast for his officials. One day, two women came to King Solomon, and one of them said, "Your Majesty, this woman and I live in the same house. Not long ago, my baby was born at home, and 3 days later, her baby was born. Nobody else was there with us. One night, while we were all asleep, she rolled over on her baby and he died. Then while I was still asleep, she got up and took my son out of my bed. She put him in her bed. Then she put her dead baby next to me. In the morning, when I got up to feed my son, I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him in the light, I knew he wasn't my son. No, the other woman shouted. He was your son. My baby is alive. The dead baby is yours, the first woman yelled. Mine is alive. They argued back and forth in front of Solomon until finally he said, Both of you say this live baby is yours. Someone bring me a sword. A sword was brought, and Solomon ordered, Cut the baby in half. That way each of you can have part of him. Please, don't kill my son, the baby's mother screamed. Your Majesty, I love him very much. But give him to her, just don't kill him. The other woman shouted, Go ahead and cut him in half, then neither of us will have the baby. Solomon said, Don't kill the baby. Then he pointed to the first woman. She is his real mother. Give the baby to her. Everyone in Israel was amazed when they heard how Solomon had made his decision. They realized that God had given him wisdom to judge fairly. Here is a list of Solomon's highest officials while he was king of Israel. Azariah, son of Zadok, was the priest. Eliareph and Ahijah, sons of Shisha, were the secretaries. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, kept the government records. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was the army commander. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah, son of Nathan, was in charge of the regional officers. Zebud, son of Nathan, was a priest and the king's advisor. Ahishar was the prime minister. Adoniram, son of Adba, was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon chose 12 regional officers who took turns bringing food for him and his household. Each officer provided food from his region for 1 month of the year. These were the 12 officers. The son of Hur was in charge of the hill country of Ephraim. The son of Dacher was in charge of the towns of Mekaz, Sha'albim, Bet Shemesh, and Elon Bet Anan. The son of Hesed was in charge of the towns of Arubot and Soko, and the region of Hefer. The son of Abinadab was in charge of Naphath Dor, and was married to Solomon's daughter Tephath. Baana, son of Ahilud, was in charge of the towns of Taanach and Megiddo. He was also in charge of the whole region of Bet-Shean, near the town of Zaratan, south of Jezreel, from Bet-Shean to Abel-Meholah, to the other side of Jokneam. The son of Geber was in charge of the town of Ramoth in Gilead, and the villages in Gilead belonging to the family of Jair, a descendant of Manasseh. He was also in charge of the region of Argob in Bashan, which had 60 walled towns with bronze bars on their gates. Ahinadab, son of Edo, was in charge of the territory of Mahanaim. Ahimaaz was in charge of the territory of Naphtali and was married to Solomon's daughter Basemath. Baana, son of Hushai, was in charge of the territory of Asher and the town of Bealot. Jehoshaphat, son of Parua, was in charge of the territory of Issachar. Shimei, son of Elah, was in charge of the territory of Benjamin. Geber, son of Uri, was in charge of Gilead, where King Sion of the Amorites and King Og of Bashan had lived. And one officer was in charge of the territory of Judah. There were so many people living in Judah and Israel while Solomon was king that they seemed like grains of sand on a beach. Everyone had enough to eat and drink, and they were happy. Solomon ruled every kingdom between the Euphrates River and the land of the Philistines down to Egypt. These kingdoms paid him taxes as long as he lived. Every day, Solomon needed 5,000 liters of fine flour, 10,000 liters of coarsely ground flour, 10 grain-fed cattle, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, as well as deer, gazelles, and geese. Solomon ruled the whole region west of the Euphrates River from Tifsa to Gaza, and he was at peace with all of the countries around him. Everyone living in Israel from the town of Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south was safe as long as Solomon lived. Each family sat undisturbed beneath its own grapevines and fig trees. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of chariot horses and 12,000 chariot soldiers. Each of the 12 regional officers brought food to Solomon and his household for 1 month of the year. They provided everything he needed, as well as barley and straw for the horses. Solomon was brilliant. God had blessed him with insight and understanding. He was wiser than anyone else in the world, including the wisest people of the East and of Egypt. He was even wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Mahol's three sons, Teman, Chalcol, and Darda. Solomon became famous in every country around Judah and Israel. Solomon wrote 3,000 wise sayings and composed more than 1,000 songs. He could talk about all kinds of plants, from large trees to small bushes, and he taught about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Kings all over the world heard about Solomon's wisdom and sent people to listen to him teach. Acts 6. A lot of people were now becoming followers of the Lord, but some of the ones who spoke Greek started complaining about the ones who spoke Aramaic. They complained that the Greek-speaking widows were not given their share when the food supplies were handed out each day. The 12 apostles called the whole group of followers together and said, "We should not give up preaching God's message in order to serve at tables. My friends, choose 7 men who are respected and wise and filled with God's Spirit. We will put them in charge of these things. We can spend our time praying and serving God by preaching." This suggestion pleased everyone, and they began by choosing Stephen. He had great faith and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and also Nicholas, who worshipped with the Jewish people in Antioch. These men were brought to the apostles, and the apostles prayed and placed their hands on the men to show they had been chosen to do this work. God's message spread, and many more people in Jerusalem became followers. Even a large number of priests put their faith in the Lord. God gave Stephen the power to work great miracles and wonders among the people. But some men from Cyrene and Alexandria were members of a group who called themselves free men. They started arguing with Stephen. Some others from Cilicia and Asia also argued with him. But they were no match for Stephen, who spoke with the great wisdom that the Spirit gave him. So they talked some men into saying, "We heard Stephen say terrible things against Moses and God." They turned the people and their leaders and the teachers of the law of Moses against Stephen. Then they all grabbed him and dragged him in front of the council. Some men agreed to tell lies about Stephen, and they said, "This man keeps on saying terrible things about this holy temple and the law of Moses. We have heard him claim that Jesus from Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses gave us." And all the council members stared at Stephen. I saw that his face looked like the face of an angel. Psalm 126, a song for worship. seemed like a dream when the Lord brought us back to the city of Zion. We celebrated with laughter and joyful songs. In foreign nations, it was said, the Lord has worked miracles for his people. And so we celebrated because the Lord had indeed worked miracles for us. Our Lord, we ask you to bless our people again and let us be like streams in the southern desert. We cried as we went out to plant our seeds. Now let us celebrate as we bring in the crops. We cried on the way to plant our seeds, but we will celebrate and shout as we bring in the crops. Proverbs 16, 26 and 27. The hungrier you are, the harder you work. Worthless people plan trouble. Even their words burn like a flaming fire. Father, we thank you for your word, as we should, as we do every day. This is why we've come here. We thank you for the gift that you have given us, a gift that counsels us from within, a gift that invites us on a journey into ourselves and our own hearts. As we see so many stories play out in so many ways and find the motives behind all of the choices and then apply those things to our own lives, opening our eyes to see and our ears to hear if we are willing. And so we thank you. We hear from Proverbs today, the hungry you are, the harder you work. We can certainly understand that physically, but that is the same truth inside of our thoughts, inside of our mental health. The hungrier we are, the harder we will do that work. And spiritually, the hungrier we are, the harder we will work. Make us workers worthy of a harvest. Help us to do the work. Especially the hard interior work, the work of becoming self-aware, the work of seeing what we're doing and the impact of it for good or for not good, and how that all plays out as we take this journey through the scriptures and into ourselves. Holy Spirit, we invite you into the work, that you might guide the work and be our counselor and our comforter. Also the one that will tell us the truth, Spirit of truth. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, dear family. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower calling, and I want to humble myself here. I've been suffering through this grief of my son Keith, and I'm sure everyone who's lost a child knows the depth of it. Canadian Football League is starting. And it's something Keith and I have bonded with, kind of bonded over for the last almost 40 years. And it's breaking my heart because I know how excited he would have been to see the starting of the season and the pre-games and the, all the training and cuts that are going on. And it's just kind of breaking my heart. Although now that Keith and I got my grandson involved in it, so now I'm with my grandson. So that's a bit of a smile on my face because we're sort of passing the tradition on. So Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us moms who are grieving the loss of children. And you know how hard it is. You know our hearts need you to fill in that void that this child left and bring us your joy so that we can enjoy the life that you have given us beyond death. It's hard, Lord. I have to admit, it's hard. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed day and evening, my beautiful DAB community. This is Asia calling from the City of Angels, and I'm calling to lift up one of the dabbers. It is June 4th today, and Rosie called in to give us an update. She is great to be free in Jesus, and she is asking for prayers for her sister who really raised her and she's been so close with for so many years, who's been truly her teacher, her caregiver, so many things, and of course her big sis, and been so faithful to her whole life. And now Deborah has pulmonary fibrosis and really needs our prayers. Heavenly Father, we come before your beautiful throne of grace and mercy that is available to us at any moment, at any hour, any day. And Father God, you are holy and righteous as our God to forgive us of our sins, to hear our prayers, to counsel us, and to comfort us, Father God, in our time of need. And we come before you, Lord, praying and seeking your favor on the life of Deborah, Rosie's sister. Lord, we ask that you would do a great work in her life, that, Lord God, that you would heal her of this pulmonary fibrosis, Lord, this condition, Lord, that you would minister to her in those sick parts of her body, Lord, that you would renew them, Father God, and refresh them and restore her to the days of her youth, Lord, when she was healthier physically. And we pray this and ask this, Father God, knowing that you are a good God who hears our prayers, Lord. And Father, we pray that your will be done here. And whatever the outcome, Father, that Deborah would know that she is loved by you above all, that she is your daughter, and that you have given her faith in Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, my name is Cindy, and I'm located in Wisconsin. And I'm calling on behalf of my son, Dalton, who is incarcerated. I am hoping and wishing and praying that everyone could say a special prayer for him during this difficult time. He has a lot to go through right now, and he needs all the uplifting that he can get. Thank you.
Yes. Hello, Dabbers. I'm calling for my sister, Jen, who is 60 years old and has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She's had it all over her body. Right now, she started to take, she got a colonoscopy be today, and tomorrow she starts chemo. She's got cancer in her brain and various places in her body. She also had a stroke a couple of weeks ago, which left her with her left eye being half blind. And I ask for your prayers and for her. She has one son who is going to start college in a couple of months. I ask that you ask God to heal her, if that's his will, and to use her for his glory, and also to strengthen the faith of her son. Her husband is also a Christian, and he's got a strong faith, but her son maybe not quite so much and needs a little bit of help. And since he's going away to college, it's going to be harder these days. It's very difficult for kids in college. That pray that he meets up with other good Christian people that will lead him in the right way. I thank you very much for your prayers. God bless you all. Thank you.